let's go for it. So before we dive into all of the skills that you need as a coach, all the skills like listening, questioning, creating awareness, acknowledging, you know, all of that, and for sure before we get to all of the even more advanced material, it's really important to cultivate or continue cultivating what I like to call the powerful energetics of being a coach. And over the course of our time together, we're going to be weaving this thread of energetics through every single thing that we look at. It's just so important. We have two specific training calls about the energetics today, and then one a couple months from now, you know, as we look at the advanced tools. But it's really, we're going to weave this throughout. And it's important that we start here. The energetics are a simple and a basic place to start. So much of it is not rocket science at all when it comes to the energetics. But just because it's simple and basic, I don't want you to underestimate its power. And also the power of exploring energetics more deeply if you already have great pieces in place around it. Okay, so what are the powerful energetics of being a coach? Well, the energetics are literally the foundation of all of your coaching, mentoring, teaching, consulting, advising, and healing. Powerful energetics are about you as the practitioner setting the stage to have the most transformative and successful client relationships possible. The energetics are about you as the practitioner truly understanding that a strong relationship with your client is the basis of everything that you do together. Because if your relationship isn't strong, it doesn't matter how amazing your questioning skills are, your strategizing skills, they're all going to fall flat. And here's the other thing. If your relationship is strong, if the energetics in your relationships with your clients are powerful, then you can make a mistake, as you inevitably will at some point, but it's not going to matter. You'll be able to recover from it because the energetics will be that strong and the relationship will be that strong. So whatever your expertise is, whether it's helping your clients market or whether it's helping them become healthier or helping them find a romantic relationship or move forward in a new career, you know, whatever it is, no matter how smart and effective the nuts and bolts information that you have to share is, all of the nuts and bolts or how-to information that you have, no matter how smart and effective it is, on its own, it can't ultimately help people transform themselves and their lives and achieve their goals. All of the content and the how-to and the nuts and bolts are so important and so useful and so wonderful, but that's not what changes people. That's not what transforms people fully. At least not in the way that you think it does. What changes your clients is the relationship, we can call it the container, that you deliver your how-tos in. What changes your clients is the energy and the presence that you bring to the container, to the relationship. Your energy and how you direct energy in coaching sessions is bar none how you show up and how you and your client relate to each other is at the heart of all of it. That's what creates the change for your client. And then your amazing content, as well as all of the coaching techniques in your tool chest, then all of that work to support all that's being shifted and that's being transformed and that's being healed through your presence, through your energy. And energy follows energy. So when you aren't embodying the energetics of a transformational coach or a sacred depth coach, your client will literally feel it. It doesn't matter how well you know your expertise or how good your coaching questions are, something is going to be off. It will be harder for your clients to maybe really take in the information that you're sharing, or it'll be harder for them to execute the strategy or the action steps. Or maybe it will be harder for your clients to trust you or themselves or the work that you're doing together. Maybe it'll be harder for them to feel motivated or to stay motivated, or just tougher for them to work through the inevitable obstacles that come up through any growth process or goal-reaching journey. So energy follows energy. I'm going to keep on coming back to that on today's call. It's so important. If you as the practitioner come to the coaching relationship with confidence in yourself, then your client is going to have confidence in you. Energy follows energy. If you come to the coaching relationship with confidence that your client can succeed, that he or she has it in her to succeed, then she'll have more confidence to be able to succeed. Energy follows energy. If you come to the relationship with unconditional love and acceptance for your client's imperfections, then she will be able to have more love and more acceptance of her imperfections. If you come to the relationship not freaking out when there are obstacles, but instead trusting that obstacles can be worked through, well, energy follows energy. Your client will then be more patient when her obstacles show up, and she'll trust more that she can get through it with your support, right? And for any of you on this call that have ever been around little children, you know exactly what I'm talking about with the energy follows energy, right? It's like something can happen, I don't know, like, you know, kid can fall or, you know, something, whatever, you know, an obstacle can come up. How we as the adult show up to meet the obstacle usually will dictate a lot of how the child responds, whether the child freaks out or not, or gets excited or doesn't get excited, or, you know, whatever it is. So all of this is why we're starting with the energetics, with how to create a powerful coaching relationship. We're starting here first before we go to any of the other coaching skills or tools. We don't want to overlook this piece because, again, if you don't get the energetics, then none of the rest of it really matters. This foundation is vital because it allows you to honestly look at and course correct any of your own misaligned inner dynamics or fears or perspectives or limiting beliefs that are going on for you within the coaching container with your clients. Working on those inner dynamics inside of yourself helps you to be more clean, more grounded, and much more in your zone of genius and leadership with your clients. Now, when you've got the energetics in place, you'll discover that your relationships with your clients will contain what I like to call the 7 most important dynamics that you need for a successful client relationship. I'm going to just name these 7 dynamics for you right now. they don't really need much explanation, and I'm sure none of them are going to come as a surprise to you, but it's really good to be conscious of these and reminded of these. So these are the seven things that I'm always looking for to have in my client containers, my client relationships. First of all, mutual trust. I trust them, they trust me. Second, mutual respect. Respect and trust are a little bit different, right? I respect them, and they respect me. Next thing, that it's truly a partnership, that it's not one-sided, but that I really see myself as partnering with my clients, and I think my clients really see that as well with me. When you've got all of the powerful energetics in place, then the fourth dynamic that can happen in the client relationship is that there's a ton of room for productive creativity. And what I mean by that is that new ideas are emerging. It's not just that there are canned answers, but there are real creative solutions and pathways that are being created. The fifth thing is clear and honest communication, right? Which sounds easy, but oftentimes can be a little tricky if the energetics aren't there. The sixth thing that naturally happens when the energetics are in place is that you as the practitioner believe in your client's vision and in the highest possible outcome for your client. So important. If you ever catch yourself not fully believing in your client's vision or in the highest possible outcome for her, then it means there's something wrong, a little off in the energetics. And then the seventh dynamic of this powerful client relationship is healthy boundaries. We're going to be looking at that a lot later on in the program. Okay. So now that we've kind of generally defined what the powerful energetics of being a coach are, and these seven dynamics of the powerful coaching relationship, then the next question is, so how do you actually create or achieve all of this? What do you need to do to make all this happen? Well, there are a few tools that are really good to have in place to make all of this happen. We're going to start looking at these tools today, and then we'll actually continue with them next week as we start our listening module. The first call of our listening module is really about the energetics of listening. Okay, so before I share these tools, here's what I want you to know, in case there'll be any resistance about this. I'll talk about it preemptively. Everything that I'm going to share with you on today's call in particular is in so many ways very obvious. If you're a human being who's interested in helping others and who is self-aware and who knows a little bit about human behavior, and I know that is everybody on this call falls into that category. If you've got these qualities, then so much of what I'm sharing today, as soon as I share it, you'll probably say to yourself, oh, of course, right, of course. Even though it might be obvious to you as soon as you hear it from me today, the things that I'm sharing with you today are actually things that most coaches don't consistently or automatically think about or put into place on their own. It's like we know it. Obviously, we know there needs to be mutual trust and mutual respect and belief in the highest vision. It's like we know it, but we don't fully put it into place until we become conscious of it. And then even when we are conscious of it, I still find, you know, I'll just say for myself, like, obviously I teach this. I'm a very seasoned practitioner. I know about this. And even then, some of the things I'm going to share with you today, I still need to be on top of it for myself. It's not like I learned it, I knew it, and then it's done. Because these are things, when we talk about the energetics, it's like core to our own energy. And we constantly, or not to say constantly, but, you know, we need to, you know, at least every now and again, realign with it, reconfigure with it. All right, so here we go. What are some of the tools in order to create these powerful energetics that I've been talking about? So first thing, equalize the playing field. And I want you to write that down. Equalize the playing field. An equal playing field in the coaching relationship and context means that you as the coach are approaching the relationship as if you and your client are two equal partners. You see the both of you as wise, as able, as mutually worthy of respect. Now, of course, you and your client both have different roles in the relationship. You have certain information or expertise that they want and need. You have techniques to help hold space for them and bring out their inner wisdom and their creativity. But that being said, there's no person in this relationship that is better than the other. There's no person in this relationship that is more powerful than the other. There's no person in this relationship that has higher status than the other. And again, like I said, I know all of this is obvious and common sense, but it's so easy for us to sometimes lose touch with this. When you have an equal playing field, that's when the trust that I was talking about earlier really gets created. When you have an equal playing field, it's part and parcel of the mutual respect that I was talking about before. When there's an equal playing field, then you've created an environment for a true partnership to happen and for real and honest communication to happen. So all of this sounds like a no-brainer, right? Just equalize the playing field. Make sure, you know, that no person in the relationship is better than the other. We're all adults. Pretty simple, right? Well, the truth is that many coaches aren't actually approaching their client relationships with a fully and consistently equal playing field, even if they think that they are. If you're not conscious and aware of it, if you don't, like I said before, if you don't actively call yourself out on it and work at it, it's actually pretty easy to fall into the trap of not totally owning your expertise, of not totally owning your brilliance, of not seeing yourself, the practitioner, as smart enough or intuitive enough, or anything enough, right? Like, insert adjective in there. Again, even for myself, as a very, very seasoned and successful and accomplished coach, I still have to be on top of myself with this. When you're not actively working to equalize the playing field, then you also maybe start seeing your client as more than you, as better than you, or too powerful, or too overpowering, or maybe you get intimidated by your client, or maybe you're scared that your client is going to judge you, or maybe you're worried that your client will get angry at something that you say or that you suggest. All of that can happen when there's not an equal playing field. It's almost as if you've almost like forget that your client is another human being, and instead you start seeing them as a cold robot that you have to be careful around. I see this a lot sometimes when people start to have sales calls, same thing, right? And so, you know, it's like you forget that the client is a human being with a heart. And then maybe because of that, because the playing field isn't equal, you back away a little bit from speaking the truths as you see them about a client's patterning. Or maybe you hold back on an idea that you have for them. Or maybe you don't really stand up for a place where it's really time for them to be accountable for themselves. Or most importantly, what happens is that you simply don't bring all of yourself forward and all of it with love to really create a warm and intimate and trusting relationship. So that's one way of not having an equal playing field. You come to the relationship as less than your client. The other way of not having an equal playing field is when you come to the relationship somewhere inside of you believing that your client isn't good enough. Maybe somewhere in there, there's just a little assumption inside of you that your client isn't really enough in one way or another, not enough to follow through on their commitments, or maybe not enough to show up fully, or maybe not enough to really achieve their goals. Maybe there's just a little unchecked assumption inside of you that they're not smart enough, or insightful enough, or open-hearted enough, or whatever it is. Now, of course, your clients are going to have challenges and crosses to bear. 100%, absolutely, that's why they've come to you. But that's very different than believing that a client isn't good enough or can't. So in either scenario, either if you're approaching the relationship as less than, or you're assuming that your client in some way is less than, in either of those scenarios, you're setting yourself up for having a very hard time helping in the ways that you want to help your client. Because essentially what you're doing is you're energetically creating a relationship that's in some way or another about fear or shame or lack or misaligned power, or miscommunication, instead of creating a relationship that's based on alignment and openness and an equal meaning of two incredible minds and hearts. And again, remember, energy follows energy. So if you're approaching the relationship with an unequal playing field, chances are that your client is consciously or not consciously picking up on it and responding, or I should say reacting, in one way or another. Now, here are some clues that the playing field that you've created with your client isn't fully equalized. Number one, if you feel nervous or inadequate, I shouldn't even say nervous, because I often, you know, nervous is totally natural. So, but, you know, that kind of extreme nervousness that's related to inadequacy, if you feel inadequate before, during, or after your client interactions, then chances are the playing field isn't equal. If you're not being totally honest in your communications with your client, if you're not calling them out on things or not making certain suggestions to them, then probably the field isn't totally equal. If you are focusing a lot more on your own needs, concerns, or fears in your interaction with your client, instead of on your clients themselves. And this could sound like, am I good enough? Will she be happy with the work that we're doing together? What if she doesn't like me, right? Like if any of the focus is more there than on the client, definitely something needs to be equalized out in the playing field, because it's not about you, it's about your client. If you feel drained by the relationship, it depends on the reason why, but if you feel drained by the client relationship, chances are there's something happening with the playing field that's not totally equal. If you notice that you're pretty consistently concerned that your client isn't going to succeed, chances are something needs to be equalized out in the playing field. And then finally, and I really want to emphasize this last one, because it can be really innocuous or dress up as something other than what it is. It can seem innocuous, and so I really want to point it out. If you have a sense that you as the practitioner are doing way more than you need to, if you're showing up either from a less than place with your clients or an over responsibility place with your clients, if you're taking over responsibility and doing too much, then I can promise you that your playing field is unequal. And sometimes, and we're going to look at this in depth later on in the training, but I was just going to mention this now. You know, sometimes when we take over responsibility, it can be disguised as, oh my gosh, I'm doing so much for this client and I'm so there for her and, you know, like all this stuff, when really we're actually doing too much. Well, the truth about that is that when we take over responsibility, not only is the playing field unequal, but we're actually doing a disservice not only to ourselves, but to our clients. Okay, so taking all of this into consideration, how do you equalize the playing field? How do you make it equal and continue to make it equal and continue to make it equal? So again, the tools I'm going to share with you are kind of obvious, but still necessary to take a look at. First tool here to equalize the playing field is really knowing and believing that you are whole and complete exactly as you are. And so I want you to write this down. I am whole and complete exactly as I am. I am whole and complete exactly as I am. So what does that mean? It means that, well, of course, there are always places to grow into and to expand. There are always techniques to add to our repertoire and, you know, all new learnings to have, places to evolve. That doesn't mean that we're not already whole and complete as we are. When we don't believe that we're whole and complete, that's when all of the less than comes into play. So let's take a closer look at this for a moment. I want you to think about your current client relationship. So any of the clients you're currently working with, and if you're not currently working with clients, then you can just really look at any of your relationships in your life with friends or family members or colleagues. Where are the places in your client relationships that you're making yourself less than? What are the specific judgments that you're making about yourself? And just take a minute here, and I want you to just jot down, think through your client relationships. If you don't have client relationships, other relationships in your life, where are you making yourself less than? Not good enough, not smart enough, not intuitive enough, not, you know, whatever it is, where are you not showing up with an equal playing field because you're making yourself less than? This recently happened to me, not in a coaching relationship, but I went to a conference a couple of weeks ago, and the room was filled with, this was only for just very successful, very high-earning entrepreneurs. And I get this way with networking. That's where I go into my less than, and it's, you know, I have to really work to equalize the playing field. But I noticed that I was sitting in the room that I was making myself in my mind less successful than everybody else, like not good enough, not charismatic, you know. And I caught myself in that. But really, for the better part of that first day of the conference, I didn't utilize any of the connections. I didn't make any connections because the playing field was not equal for me. Okay, so in the places that you're seeing that you're making yourself less than, pick one of them. How is that impacting the client relationship? Or if it's a relationship with someone else in your life, how is that impacting the relationship? Take a moment and identify that. So I want to just take a moment, whatever is coming up for you, just in case you might be judging yourself for it, hopefully you're not, but just in case, I really just want to normalize this. I have certainly done this before, and it comes up sometimes even now in my client relationships, every now and again, if I'm not on top of it, right? So this is so natural and normal to do this. That's why I'm bringing it to your attention. And just the more that you can be aware of it, the more that you can really course correct. Okay. So as you can probably guess, the other piece to this is, in order to, you know, have an equal playing field, is my clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. I want you to write that down. Again, I know this is so basic, but it's like sometimes we can consciously forget this, or unconsciously forget this, I should say. My clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. Right, so what does that mean? Well, it means that there's no need to fix your client in any way. And I can just tell you, because I've made this mistake the hard way when I started coaching, as soon as you go into trying to fix a client because you don't think that they're whole and complete, or you play into their belief that they're not whole and complete, it is a recipe for disaster. Of course, you may have suggestions and tools for your client, of course, but first things first, it's your job to give unconditional love, respect, acceptance to your clients, and also it's your job to see their intrinsic value, not when they finally reach their goal with your help, but to see their intrinsic value right now, right away. So let's just take a little bit of a closer look at this one for a moment. Take a moment and think about your current client relationships. And again, if you're not working with clients yet, you can look at any of your other relationships. Where are the places in your client relationships that you're making the client less than? That you're seeing them as like, this needs to be fixed or that needs to be fixed, when you're not fully accepting who they are, not fully seeing their intrinsic value? What are the judgments or the assumptions, the less than judgments and assumptions that you're making about your clients? Just take a moment, get as specific as you can here. Right. And again, this doesn't mean that your clients don't have challenges. Of course they do. That's why they've hired you. But there's a difference between a client having a challenge or a higher learning curve. There's a difference between that and a client being detrimentally flawed or not good enough, right? It's like an example of detrimentally flawed or not good enough would be he'll never be able to stick to a food plan for more than 2 days. Or maybe you have this judgment, she's so committed to being a victim that she'll never take action towards her success. Right? So where are the places where you're making your client less than? And then how is that impacting your relationship? What's happening in the relationship because of it? Take a moment to see if you can see any connections there. So one thing that I find to be helpful is to do reframes. So for example, for maybe the client that, you know, the original thought is he'll never be able to stick to a food plan for more than 2 days, right? It's like this detrimental flaw. He'll never be able to. I can maybe reframe that assumption or belief a little bit into, I know that it's challenging for Jack to stick to a food plan, but he's asked for my support for a reason, and I really sense that with X tool and Y tool and encouragement, he'll be able to do it. Right? Do you see the difference there? I know it's so basic and so simple. We all know this. Sometimes we forget to do this in our heads and we just go to the detrimentally flawed, right? Or, you know, for the example of she's so committed to being a victim that she'll never take actions towards her success, we could reframe that about our client to approach the field this way. Rita may have the tendency to fall into her victimized self, but she's incredibly smart and self-aware, and I know that she wants to change her habits. So take a moment and pick any of the, either when it was you were less than or the client is less than, you pick one and just play around with a reframe there for yourself just for fun. Give you another moment to do that. Okay, we've got more to look at on this call, but I know that I've just been talking a lot about energetics and equalizing the playing field and being whole and complete. I'd love to hear from some of you. What is it that you're seeing for yourself so far that's really important here? What's coming forward? What are you noticing? What are you learning here that's important for you? It's *2 if you want to raise your hand. not sure who this is. It's an international number that ends 1155.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Ruth, and I'm really, really grateful for this, this topic because as you were speaking, Joanna, I could just see myself with some of my clients, and I've worked with clients that I thought were like, you know, quite stuck in their ways, and I can see myself like not really seeing them for what they could be, because I had tried everything within my power to like help them to see what was possible, but they weren't really seeing it, and I think I kind of gave up in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really, really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, and I love the way you just put that, seeing your clients for who they can be, right? It's, for myself, it's again, like I have to, every now and again, I really have to remind myself, have I bought into their, what they think about it, or am I making assumptions? How can I really see my client in the biggest vision of who they are? Beautiful.
Yeah. But I have a question here. Like,
yeah.
What do you do like when you going through this process, when you reframe and you've tried that, you have tried doing that and nothing's really shifted. How do you create that shift?
So when you say nothing's shifted, do you mean how you're approaching the playing field, or in terms of the results that your clients are getting and how they're shifting?
Yeah, I think it is both ways.
So in terms of like client results and how they see themselves, that's what we're going to spend the rest of the training.
Okay. All right. I'll be patient.
Right, but in terms of you approaching, with an equal playing field, this is about, okay, we've done a reframe now, which is great. So that's a new idea, right, that you can start to lean into, that you can continue to come back to, that you can really remind yourself of. And just by doing that, like I said, energy follows energy. Even just by doing that, you will see some shift in your clients, even before we get to the tools and techniques. Again, because if you're showing up with that excited energy or that energy of really seeing who they are, they necessarily are going to have to at least pick up a little bit on that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. It's very, very helpful.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Let's take a couple of other shares. Kelsey.
Hi. Am I unmuted? Can you hear me?
Yep. Can hear you.
Okay, great. My question was, or my comment was a little bit similar to the last caller, and I noticed with the reframe, I'm excited about what's coming next, because what happens for me over time, if I'm working on the same thing with someone over and over and over and over, like someone in particular I'm thinking about, they have so much anxiety that they overwork and they overgive and they don't have their boundaries with their work in a corporate setting. And just over time, I see it as possible for her and I keep cheerleading for her, but in a way I'm also, I give up a little bit. And what I noticed is that when I give up a little bit, like I actually don't really think she can change this, somewhere underneath I believe that, then I don't challenge her as much and I don't go as deep with the issue. I kind of back off a little bit.
Yes. So I'm so glad that you're seeing this. This is so important, right? Because if you don't believe it, then you're not challenging her. You're not asking her to stretch, and then she's not going to, right? What I always say to myself is like, the moment that I for real have stopped believing that a client can achieve what they, what they've come to me for, if I can't shift that inside of me, I should not continue working with them. because it, for the exact reason you're saying, right? So my sense is it's not really that, like if you're thinking of someone in particular, but it's about you kind of reigniting the energy around the belief for them.
Because I actually do believe she can change, but then I get frustrated and just sort of like, whatever. If you don't care, I don't care, you know?
Yeah. Yes. So this is, so even that is such great self-awareness, right? Because you can, before a session or, you know, when you think about her in between sessions, you can even just do a little work for yourself on that. And you can say, like, even though I'm frustrated that Jackie, you know, hasn't moved forward in the last, whatever, however you want to say it, right, the last 2 months or hasn't been able to X, I know that she is so filled with passion, with this and that, and she's probably just frustrated too right now, and here's how I want to show up for her, right? So even just taking that moment to kind of think about that and get clear on that, again, back to energetics, it will shift what's happening in there for you.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great suggestion. I had a quick question, too, about the seven dynamics. I love those, the mutual trust, respect. Do you ever put those down and show them and share them with your clients, like in an agreement type form or anything?
You know what? I don't, but I love that idea. I love it so much. Like, it could be in the contract or almost like an agreement between you and your client. Absolutely. Like, that could be very powerful, you know, depending on the practitioner and the client for sure.
Right. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. So glad you brought that forward. Sophia.
Oh, hi. I actually wanted to ask you a question about, you know, the unequal power dynamics, because I realized that I actually have a lot of issues with this area. And what usually happens is I take a lot of over-responsibility, so I constantly overgive, and it's because I'm afraid to kind of upset my client if I don't get them the result, but then, I worry that they won't succeed, and then I've also had situations with clients where it was really hard for me to tell them, like, reflect the truth back to them, because I know they will get angry at me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, actually, and then, so I don't know if the problem is due to, in this, it's actually in one specific situation, because this isn't the case in every, like, dynamic. It's just I had a specific situation with one client who, like had all these patterns, and I felt, like, totally overwhelmed. And we're not working together right now, but I'm wondering if that was a situation that was actually workable, or it was just a reflection of a lot of things that I needed to change, or maybe both.
Yeah, so, I mean, just with only knowing kind of the general pieces like that, there's a few things that you're saying that I can pull out that are important here to look at. So, number one, it definitely sounds to me, you can tell me if I'm getting this right, but it sounds to me like you have a pattern, or you have you tend to get scared that people are going to be angry at you. You have a fear.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah, and so, and we're going to actually take a look at that later on in the training, but it's great that it's coming up now. That's often connected to the over-responsibility piece. And so, one, you want to be really conscious of that. You know, when are my actions being dictated, not my inner wisdom, but by my fear of this client getting angry at me? You know, if you can start to catch yourself in those moments, you may be able to reorient around that. That's number one. Number two, it might very well be that your client has the tendency to go into anger at you. I would call that a resistance. You will get to that in resistance archetypes, but that might be the case. That you can learn tools, and I'll teach you tools and techniques to work with that client's anger so that it's not directed at you, but there's no way you can do it if you're scared of the client, right? So what I would say to you is just begin, like, to become more, in, not only with your client work, but in all of your life, you know, because if it's happening with clients, it's probably happening either in family dynamics or friendship dynamics or whatever it is. Where are you acting out of your fear of somebody getting angry at you? And really start to watch that. And then the other thing I just wanted to say, well, let me pause there for a moment. How does all of that land for you?
Oh, that's amazing. I think this is the most useful 2 minutes of the call for me so far.
Oh, good.
Like, literally amazing, because I do have this huge core fear of people getting angry, and it's not just in clients. It's like every single relationship is like that for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably my biggest fear in life. I don't know if I have very many other fears, actually, but that's the biggest fear. And like, it's very big for me.
Yeah. So, like I said, we'll follow up, but just so you can start journaling on this and really, you know, looking at this. And then the other thing I just wanted to point out is you may not have even noticed it, but I heard you say, I forget the entire sentence, but you said, get my client's results.
Yeah.
And I just really want to point that out, not just for you, but for everyone on the call. As soon as we go into the thinking that it's our job to get results from our clients, then we're out of that partnership that I was talking about before.
I felt really kind of like I feel almost like guilty, like if I'm not good enough. I always feel like a very strong kind of sense of need to perform high, and I've been like this my whole life, you know, starting from like really young to like now I'm in like my 20s now. But I think all of this is kind of like the thing things like I was trained to behave and think as a child. And it's still coming up for me over and over again. But so I guess with, like, coaching, we can just do our best. And then it's up to the client whether they want to take action and do their best too, right? Like, we can't control the outcome.
We can't make our clients do anything. We can have certain tools
right.
We'll get to those, but no, we can't make them do anything. I'm so glad all of this is opening up for you. I can tell you'll have a lot to do on today. Beautiful.
Right. So we should probably not take clients that expect us to be kind of the silver bullet, right?
Well, we should make them aware that we're not. We should, you know, it's not if they, you know, you can educate them about that for sure.
Mm.
Okay, good. Good. Anyone else have anything that they want to share? There's still a couple of other pieces I'm going to share today. Actually, I'm looking at the time. Let me move on to sharing the other pieces I want to share, and then we'll definitely open up for takeaways and Q&A at the end. Okay, so just a few more things before we wrap for today. I know it's been a long call, but I just want to talk about a few other pieces around equalizing the playing field, or I should say tools to help you equalize the playing field, right? So tool number one, I am whole and complete exactly as I am. Tool number two, my client is whole and complete. Here's the next tool to help you equalize the playing field. You aren't perfect, and neither is your client. I want you to write that down. I'm not perfect, and neither is my client. Again, so obvious, right? But sometimes, right, just unconsciously, because so many of us fall into the myth of perfection, we'll get there, you know, we'll look at that in this training later on, but you know, for now, I'll just say so many of us fall into the myth of perfection, and we don't even realize it, and then all of a sudden, we've created unconsciously these expectations either of ourselves or our clients that are just not realistic at all. or we've created expectations around the pace of the results and the transformation that needs to happen, this is a recipe for ruining the equalized playing field and the energetics of the relationship if we somehow forget and think that either we're perfect or our clients are perfect. So just take a moment and think about that one. Maybe you can even just jot down for yourself, like, where are the places where you've actually set unrealistic expectations, either for yourself or for a client, if you're not working with clients, for somebody in your life. I'll give you an example for me. Sometimes I forget that John, my husband, just isn't going to be able to, like, pick up on when I'm really needy in a moment, maybe, or like need him in a way. Sometimes I fall into this unrealistic expectation that he should know, right? When I first started coaching, one of the expectations that I didn't even realize, right, that I had was that I was just going to give a client homework and they were going to do it no matter what. Like consistently every day, they were going to do it perfectly. They were going to show up the next session and it was going to be done, right? So what are some of the unrealistic expectations that have entered the relationship with clients, either unrealistic of you or unrealistic of them? There was a certain point, when I do business coaching and I help clients build their businesses, there's so many, right, like new business developments and marketing and whatever, and because I wasn't on top of this particular tool, for a month or two, I fell into this trap of thinking that I needed to know everything about Facebook ads. Even though I'm not, that's not my zone of genius at all, and I was trying to like keep up to help clients with that until I realized like, oh my gosh, this is an unrealistic expectation. This is not how I'm meant to serve. So again, you aren't perfect and neither are your clients. Next tool that relates to the perfect one, again, completely obvious, but I think we lose touch with it sometimes. You don't need to have all of the answers. There's no way you can have all of the answers. Even if part of what you do is consulting, even if it's within your field, even if it's within your expertise, you're not going to have all of the answers. If you set that expectation up for yourself, the energetics are going to get wonky really quick because you're not going to be able to live up to the expectation, and then you're going to approach the field as less than. So are there any client relationships right now where somehow consciously or not you've set up that you need to have all of the answers? Next tool for equalizing the relationship, and Sophia just brought this one up. I'm not solely responsible for anyone's growth or results. This is a partnership. I am not solely responsible for anyone's growth or results. This is a partnership. And, again, I'll tell you, even coaching for decades, being as seasoned as I am, every now and again I'll hit a doozy. I'll maybe play into a particular client's fear, you know, if I'm not on top of this, and I will temporarily think that I'm solely responsible. And that is not, that's never going to lead to client results. It's only going to lead to overworking on your part, to disempowering your client, because you're taking the responsibility over for them, which they need to be empowered, and energy drain for sure. And then last tool for equalizing the playing field, again, very obvious, you don't need to be anything but yourself, and neither does your client. You don't need to be anything but yourself, and neither does your client. And again, I know this is an obvious one. Obviously, if we're coaches, we understand this. It's, you know, inner work 101. But sometimes, again, if we're not on top of it, we can lose touch with that. We think we need to be something else other than who we are. We need to have characteristics that aren't necessarily our strengths, or you show up with a certain kind of skill, right? We don't need to be anything other than who we are. And in fact, being exactly who we are and allowing our clients to be exactly who they are with full radical acceptance of who they are is what's going to create the strongest coaching relationship, which will in turn create the strongest coaching energetics and container, which will in turn create the best results for our clients. Okay, we've been through a lot today. First, I want you to take a moment, and I want you to write down at least two or three big takeaways from this call. What are two or three of the most important things for you that you're seeing? Either something that I said or something that I said spurred something for you. What are you taking away that's really important for you? Take another moment with that.